Breaking today as the Democrats continue trying to put the former president behind bars as though we're some kind of, I don't know, banana republic, two-bit banana republic. We actually have real problems. And their abhorrent behavior shows they have no real effort underway to actually focus on the problems at hand. I mean, no wonder the country's in such bad shape right now. News today that authorities confronted 16 people at our border just last month that were on the FBI terror watch list. They were all arrested in the month of February alone. Meanwhile, we had some 150,000 plus crossings. Again, new records being hit almost every month. We are not in good shape, and it's very dangerous for our country, given the amount of drugs that are coming in. The federal government, meanwhile, spending all kinds of money, millions of dollars to store all that unused border wall material because, oh, that was Trump's idea and Trump's bad and they want him behind bars. That's the reality of the situation. They are playing politics when I think it's really, really important for this nation that we get serious about the real issues at hand. Hello. Welcome to the program. I am Trish Regan. Portions of this show are brought to you by Legacy Precious Metals. Go to legacypminvestments.com for more. Again, 150,000 people apprehended in the month of February alone. Just wait. Just wait until Title 42 gets rolled back, and it's going to be really unmanageable. For more on this worsening crisis, I am joined today by Brandon Judd, president of the Border Patrol Council. And it's good to have you here. Thank you for taking the time, Brandon.
Trish, anytime. I appreciate you having me.
What's it like, really, right now?
Well, unfortunately, I live this nightmare every single day. My agents and I, we have to deal with something that this administration could get under control tomorrow if they wanted to. But we have seen time and time again that they just have no political will. They pander to their open border activists. If you look at the West Wing, it's filled with activists. And when you have a government that is filled with activists, you can expect to see the chaos that we're experiencing on the border. And it's completely unfortunate because it puts American lives at danger, at risk. And we could save all those American lives if it wasn't for the unfortunate policies, programs, and operations that they've taken away from us. They're just not giving us what's necessary to be able to do the job.
You know, it really shows you how politics gets in the way over and over and over again. So instead of doing what's right, one, protecting our country, two, protecting these people from the predators that they are so vulnerable to right now, instead of doing what's right, we're doing what they think is going to play in Peoria. They think that this is going to resonate with their base. If you ask me, it's the most inhumane way of approaching this challenge.
The only thing that they care about is a re-election. That's it. And if they think that what they're doing is going to get people to the ballot box, they're going to do it. And that's what we see time and time again. Politics seems to have taken a front seat to what's best for the United States, what's best for our U.S. citizens, as long as they think that they're going to be able to remain in power.
You know, a lot of this is like, well, you know, it's Texas's problem. You know, let them deal with it in Texas. But now we're seeing that even the mayor of New York is like, whoa, 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 wait a second. This is costing us a lot of money here, too, because they've been bussed up to New York. Martha's Vineyard, I think, exposed a lot of the not in my backyard kind of sentiment. Look, it is a problem there in Texas. It's a problem for any of these border states, but let's not forget, we're a federal system. Doesn't the entire federal government have to take responsibility here? How is it fair to put it all on a few states that happen to be physically located at that border?
Well, the Supreme Court actually ruled that the federal government is responsible for immigration. The states can't step in and they can't enact laws that would allow them to expel or deport individuals that cross our borders illegally. That was already tested in the state of Arizona when they passed SB 1070, and then the Supreme Court shot that law down. So if you look at this, when you look at everything that is going on, if it's not the federal government that steps to the plate, if it's not them that does their job, then all of this is going to continue to happen. We're going to continue to set records. We're going to continue to have deaths on the border. We're going to continue to have more fentanyl coming into the United States than we've ever seen before. We're going to continue to release more people into the United States. When you look at right now, we have released into the United States in the last 2 years, 4.5 million people have been rewarded for violating our laws. They crossed the border illegally and got released into the United States. And then you add on top of that the 1.2 million people that were able to cross the border illegally and evade apprehension. We've added more than 5 5 million people to our population just in the last 2 years alone. And these people entered the country illegally, and they were rewarded for their illegal acts.
Look, and I'm not going to say that all people that come here illegally are bad. It's not true. There's plenty of good ones. But you go through the rap sheets, right? And yep. You see a lot of people that happen to be here illegally. And it's so sad for the victims of those crimes because they don't deserve that. The one thing that a country ought to be able to do is know and control who yes. is in it. And by the way, we're not outliers here. Like, well, we're an outlier in that we let everybody in. I mean, every other country in the world, it's not like I can go show up in Mexico and just hang out for the rest of my life. That wouldn't fly. Why are we allowing it here?
Yeah, Trish, and we're not trying to disparage people that cross the borders illegally by any stretch of the imagination. What we want is we want the rule of law to be upheld. And if the rule of law is upheld, we stop all of the deaths. We stop these migrants from putting themselves in the hands of these dangerous criminal cartels. Yes, there are a lot of people that cross our borders illegally that are good people, but they still violated the law. And unless there's accountability for violating the law, we're going to continue to encourage it. And that's what we have to do. When you listen to this administration and they talk about that they want an orderly and humane immigration system, what they've given us is the exact opposite. It's not orderly, and it absolutely is not humane, especially when you look at all of the deaths. When you look at the children that are abused by these criminal organizations, these cartels, they're raped. At times, they're murdered. They are physically abused all the time, and we see it, and we have to deal with that. The agents on the front line constantly have to deal with everything that we see every single day, and we know that it's simply driven by policy.
Yeah, you know, and there's a lot of unintended consequences. The left thinks they're being so wonderful. Let's take them all, bring them all here. Well, the minute you do that, you invite a whole host of other problems. And those are the tragedies that you're talking about. Let me ask you about something else, because you mentioned fentanyl. And according to the DEA, the largest source of fentanyl in the United States right now, and all over the world, by the way, is coming from China, Brandon. So
yes.
It's coming
yes.
from China, it's going to Mexico, and then it's seeping up through our porous borders. Very interesting, because by the way, this happened in the 1880s, 60s, 70s, 80s back in China. That's why we had the Opium Wars 1 and 2. But back then, it was the British and some Americans that were smuggling all of these drugs into China's very porous yeah. southern border,
yep.
and even though it was illegal, a lot of people made a lot of money off of it. Is this some kind of payback? I mean, it's a really strange twist in history.
It is, and it's really interesting that you bring that up. I mean, all it is we're seeing the reverse of what was done to them. We're seeing them flood our country with dangerous narcotics that are killing so many of our citizens, and it's all going into Mexico. And that's really one of the most dangerous aspects of this. If the Chinese get involved in the criminal cartels that exist in Mexico, if these become true transnational criminal organizations that are controlled by China, then we're going to have an even bigger problem, because once China has their meat hooks into anything, it becomes a lot more dangerous. And when you look at all the precursors that are coming into Mexico, and then the fentanyl being manufactured in Mexico and coming into the United States, now we're adding China into the mix, and that's very, very dangerous.
This is really scary stuff. I mean, it has national security implications. It has massive economic implications, and it has implications as we try to get a handle on crime all over this nation. And it's like, I'm really kind of surprised. You know, Avril Haines was recently on Capitol Hill, and she was asked about getting a handle on the fentanyl crisis. And she admitted, gosh, you know, it's kind of surprising. We don't really have enough people to be able to manage this. And it's like, hello, everybody's suddenly waking up to maybe this is a problem, just like Joe Biden suddenly woke up to, ooh, you know, maybe we need some fossil fuel drilling here in the United States. So he decided to greenlight the Alaska project. These people, I don't know what rock they've been under. You've been out sounding the alarm. Are we or are we not looking at the highest number of illegal crossings in the history of this country, Brandon?
We are. And when you couple that with the fentanyl, it all starts with illegal immigration. You know, when you say that we don't have the personnel to deal with the entire fentanyl crisis, what we can do is we can look at it in segments, and we can say, OK, how do we deal with it on the border? And the first thing that we have to do is we have to control illegal immigration, because the cartels know that all they have to do is flood our resources with illegal border crossers. And when they do that, it pulls Border Patrol agents out of the field, because now we have to take them back to the stations. We have to process them. We have to put them through all of the administrative processes that exist, and that's when the cartels bring in all the fentanyl. So we could control it on the border. We could go after the criminal cartels. We could go after their profits, but it can't happen until we deal with illegal immigration first. That is always the starting point that the cartels understand, that that's how they create the opportunities that allows them to generate profit.
I mean, finish the wall, for goodness sakes. I'll just say, look, we're talking right now with Brandon Judd. He is the president of the National Border Patrol Council. You can follow him on Twitter, by the way, at BP Union. I got to ask you, I think you've been in this position, well, not this position, but on the border dealing with this for some 22 years. I think I have that right. Have you ever
25.
Seen 25, 25, forgive me.
Have you no worries.
Ever seen anything like this?
No. No, absolutely. In fact, in my worst nightmare, I would have never thought that we would have ever gotten to this point. I would have never thought that administration would allow our borders to become so controlled. When you look at any given time, cartels actually control stretches of our border. They understand how it is that they operate. And when they operate under their parameters, they can control stretches of our border at any given time. And that's very dangerous. And we would have never thought that any administration would have allowed that to happen.
No, I mean, just a short time ago, even Barack Obama was not pro insanity like this.
Deporter in chief. He was the deporter in chief his first 4 years. So yeah, when you look at even what he did, yes, the last 4 years he was very bad on border security. But his first 4 years, he was extremely good. He was even better than President Bush on border security. But when you look at what this administration has morphed into, when you look at what the pathways that they've taken, and again, it all starts with who are their political appointees. Do they come from actual law enforcement backgrounds? Do they come from activist backgrounds? Are they getting the right people into support? And they're not. And that's the problem that we're dealing with right now.
Let me ask you, what do you think the goal of this is? Because if you've got a bunch of people that are coming here, you don't know who they are. You don't know where they are. You don't know if they have a criminal background or not. You don't know if they're paying taxes or not. What is the point? I think I have an inkling. I think that there's an effort perhaps to make everybody a citizen, and then therefore they're going to owe the Democrat Party, and they think that they're going to vote for them all. I mean, I think that's been disproven in places like Florida, where you actually see a ton of Hispanics, and Texas, voting for conservatives because those values are more in line with who they are. But is that the intention?
Well, just look at Washington, D.C. They just passed a law in D.C. that allows anybody that's there to vote. It doesn't matter whether you're a United States citizen. It doesn't even matter whether you're in the United States legally. You're allowed to vote in local elections. Look, they're giving us the playbook. They've always given us the playbook. All you have to do is look at John D. Podesta's think tank, and he specifically said that they have to change who those people are that are voting in the United States. And if they don't, the Democrats won't remain in power. It's always been about power. And Washington, D.C. just proved that. We even had in New York, in the state of New York, they also tried to pass a law that would allow non-citizens to vote in local elections. It's crazy to think that people that are not even legally here in the United States are able to participate in our government. What do we expect to get when that's allowed?
Guarded, really and truly. Yep. Brandon, what's the morale like among some of the border agents right now?
I've never seen it lower than in my 25-year career, and it can't be. Look, we're going to do the job. We're going to put on that uniform, and we're going to go out, and we're going to do the best that we possibly can. But when you walk away day in and day out knowing that you didn't accomplish anything, knowing that you did not protect the United States citizens that you're supposed to be protecting, you feel demoralized. You feel defeated. You feel like you didn't accomplish anything. The toughest job that I ever had was when I was working concrete in Phoenix, Arizona, when I was going to college. And we would be able to walk away from the job, even though it was a very difficult day, we were able to walk away and we were able to see what we accomplished. We were able to look back and actually see what we did. Border Patrol agents just don't have that sense of accomplishment right now. And I believe that everybody that works hard, they want to feel like they've accomplished something. And we just don't feel like that right now.
But what about the other layer of that, which is that, you know, your boss isn't really into it? Because I think leadership starts from the top. And at least if you think about the previous administration, Donald Trump, he was all about trying to get control of the border. I think he rode you guys pretty hard because he would get really frustrated when the numbers would come in and they would continue escalating. And his frustration was quite evident. But in this case, I think you've got leadership that maybe is not in line with what you're supposed to be doing there on the front lines at the border.
Well, you're right. It does all start with the top, and that's where morale comes in. When you know that you do not have the support of your number one leader, you're never going to be able to go out and feel like you're accomplishing anything. And that's where we feel right now. We know that this administration does not support our mission. In fact, all you have to do is look what he did. I mean, he accused those horse patrol agents of a crime. It's not that he accused them of violating a policy. He accused them of a crime when the evidence wasn't even in. And once the evidence came in, it clearly showed that they didn't do anything wrong. Has he apologized? Absolutely not. He does not like what we do. He goes after us at every chance that he gets.
And Kamala has yet to prove any of her stripes there at the border. Listen, you got a tough job, and we so appreciate everything you're doing, and keep speaking out, because I think most of the country is with you on this one. This is just a common sense humanitarian issue,
It
really and
is.
truly.
It is.
Brandon Judd, thank you. Again, you can follow him at BP Union on Twitter. BP Union, good to see you, my friend.
Thank you, Trish. Appreciate it. You have a good day.
Our thanks to Brandon and all the folks out there who are doing the hard work that needs to be done. Okay, taking a look at some of the financial markets. Look, volatility, it is here for all of 2023. I just want everybody to get their heads around that. I predicted it. I didn't necessarily know we were going to have a banking crisis, a la what we've seen. A news out, over the weekend, a piece in the FT is really important because it focused on the risky, insane behavior that Silicon Valley Bank was engaging in, and they were doing so knowingly. So remember how I was like, oh my gosh, how stupid can these people be? Well, the scary thing is they weren't actually as stupid as you might think. I mean, they were stupid, don't get me wrong, but there was a method to the madness, and they didn't care. This is what's alarming. They did not care that they weren't properly hedging their portfolio. They just went out and did what they wanted to do. And so the entire American financial community will pay the price in that. Good luck trying to find a little regional bank before it's all said and done. You're going to just have like uno, dos, tres. I would bet one ultimately that gets the backing of the federal government. And that just puts us in a very vulnerable spot as consumers, because we all know banking fees are high enough and they're going to keep getting higher because of this, and also because of inflation that is persistent and I would expect will continue, because regardless of what the Fed does here, and of course the FOMC meeting started yesterday, they'll tell us their plan today. But regardless of that, look, there's not much they can do. We are doomed either way. Either way, because either they raise rates and the economy contracts and maybe you see more bank troubles, or they don't raise rates at all. Some people have suggested that, a big fat zero, and that tells you we're going to have crazy wild inflation. Or they do the 25 basis points, quarter point hike, and we're still kind of up a creek without a paddle. So no matter what, look, the reality is inflation is here. It isn't going to go away easily or overnight. I've said that all along since August of 2020, if you've been watching this show. Anyway, the reality is your dollar's not going to go as far as you used to, right? Well, the folks over at Key City Capital were the wonderful sponsors here on the Trish Regan Show. I hope you caught, by the way, Ty Lasseter's interview, the CEO of the company. If you did not, he was on the program on Monday. So go check that out. But they are a sponsor of the show. And these are folks that really know that inflation is still going to be a problem. And so they want to try and help you diversify and maybe find a few investments that they believe could help offset the negative impact of this inflationary environment. I encourage you to go check them out. You can get details on them at keycitycapital.com/Trish. Key City basically offers these passive investments in cash flowing real estate that the firm believes can help offer a hedge against inflation and stock market volatility. And hey, aren't we all looking for hedges? This is what SVB should have done, right? They should have had their hedge out there. Anyway, the thinking by Key City Capital goes is that when prices rise, a lot of people, couples, families, they postpone home ownership, right? Because rates are so high, it's hard to get a mortgage or it's going to cost you more. Well, they happen to own thousands of rental units. And they say this is good, right? Because it's going to attract prospects for income an appreciation as more renters apply to live in their communities, most of which are in the Sun Belt, and we know everybody's been moving there. Go check them out. KeyCityCapital.com/Trish, a private equity shop for smaller investors, not crazy billionaires. They want to try to help grow your wealth and diversify your investment portfolio. So connect with them, see what they can do. KeyCityCapital.com/Trish. You can call them at 1-817-912-1569. Anyway, I want to tell you a quick story, and there's a method to the madness here. So my kids are like obsessed with Halloween. They just love, 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 love Halloween. And if any of you have had kids or if you have grandkids, you probably know what I'm talking about. And if you don't yet have kids, get ready, because like Halloween, like this is basically as big a deal as Christmas, right? And then we as parents have to deal with the pain because there's all that candy, which inevitably we parents tend to eat. And if we don't, it's still just as bad because the kids are on these wild sugar highs. Anyway, my kids were talking about Halloween, and keep in mind, it's March. So I got like 7 more months of this, and then it starts all over again. They were talking about Halloween, and they were talking about what they wanted to go as. And one of the kids said she wanted to go as Dorothy, and it was because she had the perfect dog, right? You know, Fluffy, right? She has a perfect dog. She can go around the neighborhood, and she's got her total. I mean, he's a different color, but, you know, he still counts, right? So we were looking at costumes. We were looking at Dorothy costumes. We're talking about Toto, and that led us to look up a whole thing about Toto himself, like the actual dog that played Toto in The Wizard of Oz. And this was really interesting to me. Like, Toto's got like a whole background. Who knew? Toto was actually an abandoned dog, and someone found him and took care of him and gave him the TLC he needed to become the big superstar that he became in Hollywood. Dogs can live pretty amazing lives. They have so much potential, tremendous potential. I mean, they don't need to be a Hollywood star like Toto, but, you know, if you think about it, like human beings, they need that TLC. They need that nutrition and love to become whatever it is that they're going to become. So if you're a dog owner, why not help your dog achieve his or her full potential, right? Ensure that that dog is as healthy as possible. This is partly why I'm helping out naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black. I'm helping him spread the truth really about dog food, because a lot of this stuff is really, really bad. Dog food is dead food. A lot of it comes from China. I hate that. I mean, like, look, and I know inflation is bad. It's hard to spend a lot of money on dog food, but if you can at least do this, you can guarantee that your dog's going to be getting the right nutrition that your dog needs. This is why Dr. Black created Rough Greens. It's a fully natural supplement. You just add it to your dog's food. You sprinkle a little bit on top, and it really brings it to life. I mean, I put it on Fluffy's dinner every single night. He just gobbles it up. It tastes really good. It's like the special sauce. That's the sugar on top. Most dogs love this. I mean, I think your dog will love it too. And it gives them better energy. It helps with other things like any itching they have. In my case, allergies for my dog, that was an issue. And so I've been able, through his diet, to really see a lot of these problems solved by just adding Rough Greens. It's the right mix of the right vitamins and minerals, digestive enzymes, probiotics, omega oils, which really can just change your pup's life and support whatever role they want to play, right? Including becoming a famous Hollywood or maybe YouTube star. A lot of dogs are YouTubers. We all love dogs. Anyway, Dr. Black is so confident Rough Greens will help that he is offering a free Jumpstart trial bag. Just handle the shipping cost. You can only get this at roughgreens.com/Trish. It's spelled R-U-F-F, roughgreens.com/Trish. So give a little back, right? Give a little TLC back. Make sure you have a healthy, healthy dog. Anyway, thank you so much to all of you for being here today. Make sure you subscribe, hit that bell, share the show, comment on the show, whether you love it, whether you hate it. I want to know, okay? It's really important that we get the word out, because it's not easy these days. Trust me. You know, I used to think shadow banning was like some made up thing. And then, wow. Believe me, trust me, it's not. Anyway, tomorrow we're going to continue our series here on the border with Senator Marsha Blackburn from Tennessee. She's going to be joining me. So I will see you then. Make sure to subscribe and hit the bell so you know when I'm here with Senator Blackburn. Have a great day.